SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good holiday Monday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And the weekend continues, really a four-day weekend once you go back to Friday and Keeneland opening day. Nonstop. It's been a pretty intense 72 hours and a little bit more today to kind of wrap up the vast majority of at least the domestic preparations toward Breeders' Cup for so many horses. And we'll get through, at least 40%, I would think, of the weekend in these next 3 hours. At the same time, we'll keep an eye on what's happening today. And it is Canadian Thanksgiving, so there's action at Woodbine and at the Bunty Lawless, and also out at Hastings. And at Century Downs as well. But for our purposes, Belmont and Santa Anita, certainly with more to keep track of today, and that includes the two-year-olds on the grass out west, the Surfer Girl in Mizuma Beach, and in New York, the Philly counter to the Futurity yesterday. These will be two-year-old fillies on the grass going six, and the Knickerbocker as well, and there's quite a bit of trainer crossover to consider from the weekend, and a lot of outstanding performances, a few notable clunkers. I mean, we've had this both of the big prep weekends, some horses that were expected to overwhelm fields that misfired or were just upset on the square. You also had about as stunning a two-year-old grade one upset as you're going to find. It was one thing for Jaywalk to run her race in the Frisette, and Covfefe couldn't follow up the big maiden win with the next step. But what happened at Keeneland on Saturday was pretty amazing. And we'll talk to Ben Colebrook this morning. In fact, I think Ben's going to be the first guest at the bottom of the hour. Nick's Go, just, and you could tell, you could absolutely tell off the turn, the 70-1 shot was going to win the Futurity. And that just, set off the obvious multi-race fireworks and everything that goes with that kind of a shock in that high-profile a race. So many divisions, and I did my best to keep it organized for our purposes this morning. So many divisions, notably this was really a two-year-old showcase weekend. Last weekend, certainly what we saw from the West Coast, but but juvenile fillies, juvenile boys, the turf divisions, and the juvenile sprints. And one thing that happened over the weekend when it comes to that division, to the juvenile sprinting. It looks like violence is emerging as a major force. Two winners among the two-year-old, the juvenile turf sprinters. Pretty interesting. And certainly, I'm sure, to the delight of John Sakura and Hillendale. Strike silver in the Indian Summer for Cassie. And, I mean, just, you wouldn't have given 2 cents off the turn for Strike Silver's chances. And also in California, in the Speakeasy for Brian Corner. It's going to hurt. So I thought that was notable. So many of the grade one races that had, you know, thrilling outcomes. You know, certainly, and I'll take it from the top division-wise, the Distaff, blue prize. And we'll probably wait till tomorrow to reach out to Nacio Correas. Blue prize with some adventure down the stretch. In the Spinster yesterday, Wowcat, who I really like, she broke through and third start in North America to win the Beldame. We'll talk about what went on behind them, because some will go forward toward the Distaff, others will refocus. Fold in Europe while we're on the female front, talking Distaffers. On the turf female side, well, Europeans with a big day of their own yesterday. The ARC performance, we'll talk to Garrett O'Rourke from Judmont in Hour 3 today. Always nice to check in with the North American face and voice of Prince Khalid. And Enable repeats as your ARC winner. And boy, it was everything it's supposed to be. And what a great way to start Sunday. And appreciated the broadcast, the Naira hosting broadcast. And in fact, Christophe Clement, who will join us tomorrow, Club Chris has had a great weekend, and he's got a chance to make it even better today with the matron and with the Knickerbocker, and he's also got some allowance horses running as well. And Chris was schooling today, and he said, can I do it after 12? I said, well, you could do it after 12. Won't be with me. So we'll talk to Christophe Clement. But Chris co-hosted the opening hour of the broadcast, actually, yesterday on Fox Sports 2 and MSG and everywhere else that, you know, what's that out in Colorado and the West Coast, the altitude sports and so forth. Greg Wolf, and it was funny because I heard the audio and I knew right away I could hear the voice when I switched over, and I switched a couple of minutes into the broadcast like at 9:35, and right away I said, that's Christophe. So that was fun to have Christophe. And then Maggie Wolfendale took over for the lead-in to the Prix d'Opera. The ARC was really fun and really exciting. And credit to John Gosden, who acknowledged straight out. I mean, Gosden could not have been more forthcoming about what he expected and where he thought Enable stood going into the race. You know, having been off and having missed some training time and then getting that tightener. And, you know, he thought she was as ready as she could be. Well, Sea of Class. I mean, let's be honest here, and we'll see what Garrett says. I mean, obviously, Enable and her prospects for coming to the U.S., you would think that, you know, that performance really moves her forward and tightens her up. And I know she's been instilled in the betting shops. She's instilled as the favorite already for the Breeders' Cup Turf. But Sea of Class, that was quite a performance, and outposted the way she was, and boy, she ran a dynamite race, and just to get beat. We'll see and see what Haggis is going to do there. And if Sea of Class were to come, she'll face off against Wild Illusion, who was just terrific, winning the Prix d'Opera. And there will be plenty of, it feels like, the European filly and mare turf contingent is going to be serious. And Chad Brown obviously has got at least two and probably three, maybe four, to throw at the filly and mare turf. But the Euros will be tough. Dermot Weld has committed Azira to come as well. So that was the Euro contribution to the fillies and mares. And then, of course, our mile division. We'll talk to Richard Baltus. Next shares. I believe me, I was kicking myself badly. I was looking for big score from the outside coming out of the same race. And I did say, I don't know when I said it, but I think on the stats race lens, I said, well, if you like, you know, I like big score. If you like big score, you got to respect next shares. And big score ended up fifth and came with the mild late run from the outpost. In the meantime, next shares with a absolutely terrific performance under Tyler Gaffleone to win the Shadwell Mile. Now, Richard Baltus had a big weekend and came close to having a monster weekend. We'll talk to him at 10:30 on the mile front as well. Sharp Samurai, that win in the City of Hope. Gary Stevens, and that was dead tight for Mark Glatt. The sprint division, Roy H. wins the sprint championship at Santa Anita. Peter Miller, heavy hand on the sprint side. Promises fulfilled. Let's go back to Friday. Holy cow. Promises fulfilled in a adventurous race. We're going to talk to Ben Colebrook, and it's funny. He wins with the 70-1 shot, and of course, Limousine Liberal probably was best in the Phoenix. You know what they say, small field, big trouble. Unbelievable. Jose Ortiz, that will not be on his highlight reel. We're going to talk to Tim Gleishaw. Back home again in Indiana. Bocero follows up, wins another Woodford, and unbelievable. And speaking of unbelievable, Disco Partner, his East Coast counterpart. We'll save that conversation for Clement. Sky Diamonds. How great was that? Philly and Mare sprint yesterday. Bill Spar. Golden Mischief. We'll throw that in with Garrett O'Rourke. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of the juvenile potpourri. Complexity was absolutely terrific. Winning the Champagne. More after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on?
ERS Sportsform Digital Edition.
I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, the roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. It won't stop. The roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. I need a mop. I cry so hard, teardrops on my bed. Dribbity drop, yeah. She packed.
We're back at the races, wading through all of the terrific weekend action that started Friday, and of course also the second week of the Stronach Pick 5, which was negatively impacted by the off-the-turf at Laurel, which slashed the fields to like a half a dozen, five and six maybe. You know what? It still paid $1,100. We'll look at it with Johnny at the top of hour two as part of the recapping. Paid, $1,180. I botched made a couple of structural errors. I wasn't happy with myself. There was a lot of that, actually. Belmont on Saturday had everything, had all the pick five, and the Naira Betts pick five wrapped up its run on Saturday, and was eminently hittable, and one kind of singled in a spot that I hate that. There's nothing worse than having a place where you use maybe three, and your top pick is an easy winner, and you think that was the spot to single. We'll visit with Nick Tamaro, top of hour three, and do some handicapping of Belmont today, and do some recapping. Get Nick's thoughts on the racing. Back to the juvenile front, and looking forward to actually to Ken McPeak too. Ken is going to join us at 9:45 to talk about Restless Rider, who got the grade one action rolling on Friday with a popular, as they say, victory in the Alcibiades. And she was flat out dominant and won easy. So we'll check in with Kenny. He's got something. I guess not till Wednesday in the Jessamine. He's got a pair. We'll talk about Lights, Camera, Action and Princessa Carolina, or Carolina, on Wednesday in the 2-year-old filly prep for the turf. But beyond those two, if we shift to New York, after Restless Rider and the upset, which we'll talk about, Nick Sko with Ben Goldberg, the performance by Complexity was absolutely terrific. Early pressure and grappling for the lead, and stayed on doggedly. Absolutely earns his way to a Breeders' Cup try. And even Chad Brown acknowledges. He said, he thinks he'll get the mile in a 16th. Chad made it sound like one turn mile in a 16th would be preferable, but the two-turn part, that'll be a question to be answered. But Complexity got a nice figure, too. Got a 90-93 buyer, the McLean's Music Son, another score for Hill and Dale. Then yesterday, Jaywalk's performance, and we look forward to checking in with both services, John and Jason, because it was a service exacta, or a service double, between the win in the Futurity by Uncle Benny and the win in the Frisette by Jaywalk. It was pretty cool. So maybe we'll try to probably tomorrow we'll try to arrange to have them both together. That'd be fun, actually. So Jaywalk, Cross Traffic, cute name. Jaywalk, like Complexity, went to the front, turned away challenges, and kept on going. And what's interesting is that she shows signs, and John Service certainly thinks that she's a filly that is going to absolutely stretch out successfully. So Jaywalk and Complexity come out of the classic preps for the Breeders' Cup in New York. The turf races, I thought Current, that was an exciting bourbon yesterday afternoon. And Current made the last move a winning one. Eclipse and Todd Pletcher, Jose Ortiz. And then there were the juveniles. I mentioned Strike Silver and that performance, and also Out West, It's Gonna Hurt. Should also note, because I didn't get a chance to do it Friday, Ravelli, Big Drink of Water, with another nice performance, and wins the Fitz Dixon to close out the season at Presque Isle. The Son of Soldat, under Jose Valdivia Jr., and Big Drink of Water. And I can't imagine, I actually owe Ravelli a call, but I can't imagine they'll not take an opportunity to come to the Juvenile Turf Sprint with Big Drink of Water. And by the way, the other stake from Thursday at at Presque Isle, the HBPA point system. Pablo Morales for Graham Motion. And Friday, we were so busy with the weekend preview, we didn't get to mention the Thursday night stakes results. That gives us a bit of a handle, right, on everything that went on. Haven't mentioned the Hill Prince, Uncle Benny. And it was a nice Saturday. Declaration of War is starting to warm up. Declaration of War, have at it. And, you know, have at it was offered as maybe the, you know, the obvious or the logical alternative in the Hill Prince to Raging Bull, who absolutely didn't lift a hoof, just misfired. And Chad Brown didn't, he said, no excuse. He said, just did not run. But earlier in the card, Empire of War was a wire-to-wire winner for the Wyckoffs. This is a homebred of theirs for Todd Pletcher. And that performance, very notable. This is a half-brother of Separation of Power. And Empire of War from the tricky 12-hole. And it's funny because Clement, we'll talk to Chris about Malfiel tomorrow. And Malfiel, the AP Indian brother and the Green Lantern homebred. So that's the, that was the day for Declaration of War. Not so bad. Stake win and an impressive, well-bred maiden win. Have at it, Davey Cohen. And, you know, take a second to mention that I thought it was notable how many, you know, how many underappreciated and sort of, you know, less than marquee name type riders were successful this weekend, and Davey Cohen just one of them. How about Albany Menace? We'll talk next. We're going to go to the break. Ben, we'll talk to Ben Colebrook in just a couple of minutes here. And who else? How about Fernando de la Cruz on Buchero? Gaffleone, Nick Shares. Just looking down my list. Tiago Pereira, two stake wins. Sky Diamonds and It's Gonna Hurt. Maldonado won the Swing Time, the last stake of the weekend last night. Fahan Mora for Vladimir Serin. There were more, too. Oh, yeah, but, I mean, Brian Hernandez Jr., Restless Rider. Luis Saez, Promises Fulfilled. Joe Bravo. How about, I'm looking forward to talking to Correas. Blue Prize got out badly. And it's funny because Joe Bravo said afterward, I was warned that she gets to playing around. And I guess he didn't take Nacho's warning seriously, but I think her antics surprised Joe Bravo a little bit, but he kept her to task for her grade one. So, yeah, it was nice. There was a nice, you know, to go along with Jose and Arad Ortiz and Joel Rosario, Rosario is picking up a lot of nice Breeders' Cup mounts. We're going to have to get a Ron Anderson visit in. So, let's take the break here. We'll start some conversations. Ben Colebrook first, Kenny McPeak, Johnny D., Richard Baltus, Tim Gleishaw. Next couple of hours. Stay right here.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. A little past the bottom of the hour. Ben Colebrook is going to join us, and I can only imagine what Friday night was like after the adventurous, is that a good word for it, Ben? The adventurous trip that Limousine Liberal had in the Phoenix, and then I was laughing with you as you were interviewed after the Fraternity win, Nick's go, and you were so amused by his win, and just so great. Congratulations on an interesting 24 hours at Keeneland.
Yeah, just that's horse racing in a nutshell right there.
Unbelievable. Let's start, actually, with Friday. We'll do this in chronological order. It's one of those trite racing sayings, small field, big trouble. And Jose Ortiz could only have come off of limo and just said, I'm sorry.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, I mean, you know, he just kind of made kind of the wrong decision each time, and it just kind of kept building from there, you know. Down the backside, he probably should have been a little bit more aggressive, getting a little better position. Then coming off the turn, he could have probably gone outside, and he chose to try to duck up the rail, and that, you know, that could, you know, I don't know, Louis probably was going to make that a little tight, so he sucked back out of there. But at that point, Santana had already seen what he was trying to do, so he used Whitmore to kind of close off that hole. And that, you know, then he had to duck back inside late in the stretch inside the 16th pole, and then he's such a big horse to get him stopped three times like that. It's next to impossible. I mean, it was just a pretty amazing that he's even able to hang around and only get beat a half length, you know, with a trip like that.
Very much. And at the same time, I mean, while it, you know, you don't want to just shrug your shoulders off of, you know, any opportunity, there's a bigger prize here in 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you know, it kind of, we didn't know how he stacked up against, you know, Dale's horse. You know, I mean, he's run, like, you know, some really, really fast races. And, you know, I think after that race, I think we stack up okay against him. You know, I mean, he's a very nice horse, but I think on the best day we could maybe get the best of him. So, you know, I think it does give me some confidence going to the Breeders' Cup at Churchill, where everything seems to work out for the horse. And at Keeneland, just, you know, the last 3 years in the Phoenix have just been real tough. Last year, you know, not a great trip either. The year before, he runs his eyeballs out and just loses the photo to AP Indian, breaking a track record. So, you know, he's won 5 straight stakes at Churchill. So, you know, it just seems like everything just clicks there for him. I guess, you know, maybe the long stretch helps him too. But I've go to my grave saying that I think he's just as good as Keeneland as he is at Churchill. He just never gets the opportunity.
No, it's actually very strange, whether it's the Phoenix or the Commonwealth, it's like something conspires against him, and then, you know, then across 64, everything works. So we'll look forward to the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and, you know, obviously, you know, Dale's horse, I know that everybody in this position keeps flirting about the mile, but I suppose, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what Dale has to say, because, you know, the 7/8, given how he looked going 7/8, I don't know. There's some very interesting decisions that are going to be made here in the next couple of weeks. Before we talk, though, about Saturday, I also want to bring up Into Trouble, who I thought had a little bit of a look, and I had some interest in, you know, in the Alcibiades, and it just never really found a spot to make her run.
Yeah, and I, you know, to be honest, Steve, the barn flooded on you know,
right,
Friday, you know, the night before the race, and she's always a filly that, you know, there was like 6 inches of water in my barn, and she's always a filly that lays down and sleeps, and she's, you know, she's just only her third race. You know, it's only her third race. You know, that could have affected her. She just seemed like she's always real classy and quiet, but she maybe was a little even too quiet. So I just kind of tossing that race out. She just never picked her feet up, and you know, she's too good. She showed she's too good in the mornings and in her two races for that to be a, you know, for real. So we'll just get her back and, you know, find a race four down the road. But I think that one, you know, Limo, I don't think, you know, the barn flooded, probably you could set a bomb off next to his stall. It's not going to bother him. But, you know, a filly, you know, just lightly raised, you know, just throwing her whole, you know, her whole schedule in a, you know, messed up. I think maybe that should be an excuse. But, you know, we'll get her back, and I'm sure, you know, she's a big, strong, beautiful filly that I think, you know, has a big future. So, you know, we were disappointed, but at the same time, she came out of the race fine. So we'll look to something maybe at Churchill for her.
You won't consider a Breeders' Cup run?
No, I don't think so. No, not with her. You know, she needed to hit the board or run well. I mean, you know, I don't really want to run against those kind of fillies off a bad race. You know, we'll just we'll get her back and try to find something a little bit less aggressive and just ease her back into it, hopefully. But I do think, you know, down the road, I think she could be a graded stakes quality filly. I mean, she has shown, you know, works. I mean, she's worked with Nick Go. She's worked with good horses, and she's always worked really well. So, we'll just, you know, it's just one of those things that happens sometimes, especially with fillies. You know, you don't know why, but every now and again, they'll just be a little bit flat.
Well, you didn't have that problem with Nick's go, certainly, and he came in off of a bullet into this. He also was exiting the Arlington Washington Futurity and the Sanford, where you know he's run against an interesting mix of horses, and frankly, the Arlington Washington Futurity got even a little compliment before the weekend. I just mentioned Big Drink of Water's win at Presque Isle on Thursday for Ravelli, and of course Big Drink of Water beat Nick's Go in the Arlington Wash, and you know, here you come back and you stretch out around two turns. He's a painter out of an outflanker mare, and you came in hot. He was working up a storm. You were absolutely amused by a grade one win of this caliber, and for the Korea Racing Association, it's a big score for them.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, I mean, that was the whole goal of the whole project, was to get horses racing in North America to compete in grade one races and try to win one, and now they've done that, so that's good, you know, because they hadn't up until this point, you know, it probably hadn't gone as well as they'd hoped. But, you know, now, just typical fairy tale, you know, you just run at that odds. I mean, and I didn't think you should have been those odds. You know, I thought 20 to 30 to 1 would have been a fair price on him. He never really got on track on the poly track. He hated the surface that day. He's a big long striding colt, and his just stride never looked right on the poly to me. And, you know, when they don't like it, you know, there's nothing you really can do. So, and then, you know, Saratoga race, not the hopeful, but when we ran him up there, he was probably a little too soon after his maiden. I brought him back a little bit too soon. So he'd always trained really, really well at Kima and trained like a good horse. So it gave us a little bit of, you know, confidence that, you know, he fit the race. I'm not saying that I thought he was going to do what he did, but I didn't think he totally didn't belong in the race.
He gets the lead, and around the turn, you know, you don't really think about anything until you start to get to the turn, and he did, you know, he was going really comfortably. They let him alone, 23-3, 47-2, and then the 112-3, then it became clear. I mean, you could tell in that third quarter that he was going to take some catching, and then he just spurted away from them.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very impressive run. Alvin, you know, rode the perfect race. I didn't tell him to be on the lead, but I didn't tell him not to be. I just said, you know, just get him out of the gate good, get a position. I said, if they're going crazy up front, then obviously, you know, be forwardly placed, but don't use the horse up, to be on, to fight for the lead. But if you get it easy, by all means, have it. And the he got it easy, and the horse's biggest attribute is probably his high. He's got that high cruising speed, and he just got into a nice rhythm. And you know, he probably got it, like you said, he got a breather in the third quarter. They kind of made their little run at him, and Alvin had saved, you know, more than enough work to just sneak away again, and that was it. You know, I was kind of celebrating at the eighth pole because, you know, and he knew nobody was.
No.
And like you said, around the turn, you know, when he kind of snuck away from him like that, I said, you know, nobody was really closing, and McPeak's horse had a little bit of traffic trouble, I guess. Maybe the margin would have been a little closer, but I think he would have held anybody's way the way he was finishing.
I mean, what choice do you have? You gotta go forward, right? You gotta go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And if they wanted to, if we were first, second, or third, to be honest, that's why we're in the race. We thought maybe we could, you know, pick up a piece of it and earn a berth in the Breeders' Cup and just see what happens, because obviously the horse seems to be improving. You know, he's a very strong horse, you know, and he's a very good mover, and he's got a real good mindset. So we were, you know, we knew he had a future, but we were trying to punch our ticket to the Breeders' Cup. So now that we have, I mean, he'll definitely be in the race, you know, if everything goes smooth and his training between now and then.
I should also note, Ben, that this is Albin Jimenez, his first grade one, and only his second graded stake win. And he's won close to 1,200 races. It's got to be just a mammoth thrill for him.
Yeah, that's what I told him when we were walking onto the grass course for the winner's picture. I said, they were a long way from Turfway Park, buddy. that was pretty cool to, you know, share that with him, because, you know, he's ridden a lot for me when I was first getting going and running at Turfway. You know, he's won a lot of races for me. He's probably a little bit of an underrated rider. Wesley Ward uses him a lot, but, you know, sometimes that's a double-edged sword because you're traveling all over for Wesley, so, you know, your day-to-day business might take a bit of a hit because you never know where Wesley's gonna be. You know, he could show up anywhere, you know. So, I think, you know, Wesley's a good judge of his talent, and he likes him. So, you know, I mean, he could ride pretty well himself, Wesley. So he knows a good rider when he sees one.
Absolutely. And Jimenez's other graded stake win came for Tony Granitz on Lady Foghorn. What did she win? The Fall City. And that was one of the subplots of the whole big weekend, was how many riders like Jimenez scored stake wins. And for you to, you know, to win two-year-old grade ones, that's nice for the Ben Colebrook brand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been competitive in grade ones, you know, with Limousine Liberal, and even Mr. Crow, who ran pretty well in the Vosburg. But I kind of maybe thought I would get one eventually, but I didn't. To be honest, I didn't know if it was going to be on Saturday, but we got that one out of the way, and hopefully the first one's the toughest, because, you know, we did kind of run in a bunch of them with limo, and we were, you know, maybe a little unlucky in a couple, but also hooked some monster horses and monster efforts when we were in those big races. So it's nice to finally get one, especially, I mean, extra special to get it at Keeneland, which is home for me, and I had my first winner there, my first graded stakes winner or stake period of any kind, and then to have my first grade one there, it's kind of a little bit, you know, too good to believe, I guess.
Well, delighted for you, and we've all along the way, as as your career has grown, we've celebrated these kinds of milestones, and certainly the grade one here with the 2 year old, that is a box checked off as well, you know, winning a race like this with a young horse. I'm glad you mentioned Mr. Crow, another Korean project, and ran a very nice race in the Vosburg that kind of went under the radar. Where do you stand with him?
We're going to try to go to the sprint if we get in. I think he deserves a chance in there. I mean, obviously he'll be a long shot, but he's got kind of a good style, because he can, you know, he can lay close to the pace without having to be on the lead. So, you know, if they go really fast, you know, he probably could be kind of that horse making the move before some of the closers. So I think, you know, like I said, and the Korean KRA is very aggressive with their placement. You know, they want to be in the big races. So, and I think the chairman of the KRA is coming for Breeders' Cup. So, you know, it's not crazy to run him in the race. I think he's, you know, he does fit the race. If he got back to some of his best efforts, you know, he ran some freaky fast efforts, you know, when Pletcher had him, you know, he's a very nice horse, but he has a little bit of, you know, he has some issues. He's had some layoffs over the past, but it seems to be that he's finally, as an older horse, gotten sound and gotten healthy. And when he's at his best, I mean, he's pretty fast.
Well, things have gone well here in the heavyweight season leading toward Breeders' Cup and couple other horses, just to quickly slip in too and ask about Life Mission. That is still a maiden, but you obviously have got a high regard, and you tried as well on Friday with this gelding. A Noble Mission, you had tried him at Kentucky Downs, where in the juvenile turf sprint, where he ran big. Should graduate sooner than later, yes?
Yeah, you know, I think the race on Friday, the speed was holding so much on the turf course. You know, they stayed 1-2-3 the whole way around there. We only got beat a length and a half. He gave Jose a big kick when he finally got him uncorked, but he kind of around the turn there was a horse that was stopping, and he kind of had to wait to make his run until he could steer around that one. You know, if there was a horse backing out of there, so he just, you know, he had to wait a little longer than he wanted. I'm not saying he would have definitely won, but I think it would have been a kind of a little bit of a blanket finish had he been able to get on track a little early. He's got a very good turn of foot. I mean, it's your typical European horse that kind of sits and wants to make that one big run. I think he is a two-turn horse, you know. We ran him in the sprint at Kentucky Downs just because he had been sprinting in Europe, and, you know, we didn't want to stretch him out, you know, right away. But I think he's a horse with a big future, and, you know, his form in Europe has held up, you know, so he's a horse that's exciting. You know, we'll try to run him in a maiden, most likely at Churchill, and try to get that accomplished. And then, you know, I mean, as a three-year-old, there's plenty of opportunities with grass races and stakes all around if he's good enough, which I think he probably is.
Speaking of maiden winners and getting maidens knocked out, coming up on Thursday at Keeneland in the fourth, you've got the three-year-old filly of Ev Dobson's, Dynamic Miss, A Kitten's Joy, out of Miss Netta. And her first start going short at Kentucky Downs, then a mile and an eighth at Churchill 3 weeks ago, give or take, and it was an improved effort. Feels like,
yeah, the
third start?
I think she should improve. You know, the first race was my fault. I knew she didn't want to go short, but she'd kind of been a little headstrong in the mornings, and I was worried about her kind of getting keen and not having any cover and running off and stopping. So I figured if we just gave her a race going short, she was going to be outpaced, so she'd be in behind horses and she could kind of pass some tire wins at the end. But she never really got even on track until the race was over, and then galloping out, she galloped out, you know, really well. Then I ran her back really quick, going two turns at Churchill, just to kind of, you know, I just wanted to, you know, get that last race out of her system and use that as a work more than a race. And she did run, she ran, you know, better. And I still think she'll, you know, improve again because, like I said, the timing of the race wasn't exactly perfect running back in 8 days. But, I sometimes, if they're just using a race as a breeze like that, you know, I don't mind running them back quick.
Well, Dynamic Miss on Thursday at Keeneland, plus a couple of allowance horses and a lot of work to get ready for Breeders' Cup. Ben Colebrook, as always, very happy to see you win races like this. And I look forward to seeing you at Churchill. Big chances, of course, moving toward Breeders' Cup and Mr. Crow and Limousine Liberal for the sprint, and the terrific effort that stunned horse players when it came to the futurity. Just great. Knicks go. And Knicks go went. The Knicks here, yeah, at Madison Square Garden should go like that. I love it. Ben, thanks so much.
Yep. Thank you for having me, Steve.
Not at all. Ben Colebrook, everybody. And we'll stay right here because Kenny McPeak is listening in on the other line, and Kenny joins us. And Kenny, you and Ben mixed it up good over the weekend.
Yeah, Ben had a big winner. That horse was amazing on the front end.
Now, and you and he noted, in fact, before you joined us, he noted that you know, that you had some traffic in there to deal with.
Yeah, that happens. They're still not going to take the grade one away from him, are they?
No, he's still Signalman. Signalman is still gets the black type. Absolutely.
Yeah.
talk about that for a second, because you and then we'll switch over to the dominant performance on Friday. But Signalman from the inside, and you added Lasix for both of these starts. Not that he hadn't performed well in that, you know, maiden win at Saratoga, but talk about Signal Man for a second.
No, he's a big, strong, really solid horse. I mean, we we've had high hopes on for a while. You know, his first race, even going 5/8 for a big horse, he ran well, and he came out of that with a little tender shin, which we had to wait on. But he's, you know, this horse you could very easily see in the Triple Crown campaign. And, you know, where it looks like we are going to plan on going in the juvenile colts with him. But it's a, you know, it's a good spot. And we didn't give any money for him either. You know, it's kind of a odd bred general quarters. I'm not sure he's had a winner. You know, whatever. The horse is very physical and really easy to be around, and he's a whole lot of animal to look at, I can tell you that.
Well, and in fact, bought at the October sale, at the Fasig October sale, for $32,000 last year, and the sale got the sale at OBS starting tomorrow in the October sale, and kind of exciting. I love this kind of story. And you know, it's funny, not only is there the general quarters on top, but a trippy mare on the bottom. Montecule bred this colt, and this is a nice return. Let's turn to Friday, Kenny, and this was, you know, one of those things where you get a big bulky field, she's got a big target on her back, and she basically runs to her odds. She was absolutely terrific, and talk about the preparations for Restless Rider, and then what you saw once the gates opened.
Well, I mean, that wasn't as easy as it looked. A couple of weeks before the race, she had worked in 59 and change, and we had a, you know, really pleased with that and everything. But the next day, she was dealing with a slight fever and a cough. So she made us a little nervous there. We got her through that relatively quickly, and it fortunately wasn't something that caused us to miss the race. And we had, you know, 2 weeks to sort it out, but and that's why I postponed the work a little bit going into it. But she is really special. She's a this filly breathes a different air than a lot of other ones, and she's certainly got a big chance in this coming Breeders' Cup. You know, I'd like to check that box off, and be just a real pleasure to be around. And she'll stay at Keeneland right now, and there's not any plan on moving her around. I might take her down to Churchill and give her a little workout, maybe school her in the paddock prior to the race. But right now, we're just going to keep her pat where she's at.
I mean, the case could be made that, you know, that the two turns really suited her particularly, and that, you know, she really took to it. And, you know, of course, got run down late in the spin away by the Contessa Leap Akoi filly that, you know, shocked everybody. Otherwise she'd be 4-for-4 heading to Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, well, still, though, the spin away is such a tough race, and it was a big field, and I still, coming off a, you know, couple month layoff, I thought it was a really good race out of her. And yeah, we'd like to still be undefeated, but those things happen. I didn't notice. Did Gary's filly run yesterday?
Not in the, no, they were going to train up. You mean in the Frisette?
Oh yeah, no, I thought maybe they were running back in the Frisette. I'm sorry, I didn't. I have a hard enough time keeping up with my own horses.
Yeah, no, they're going to wait. They're going to wait. But I tell you, the service filly was plenty impressive, no doubt. Well, this is obviously a you know, she'll head to Churchill. I suppose Bellafina probably is the slight favorite over her, I guess, heading in, but it'll be a debate. There'll be a debate.
Yeah, neither one of them can read. We'll be okay.
That's right. There you go. Kenny, I got to ask about the yesterday with Eskimo Kisses, because everybody right away, you know, what's wrong? I know it's only 24 hours, and you'll watch her for a day or two, but some reaction to yesterday's spinster try.
Well, I mean, okay, so the situation was kind of flipped on us, and I said it going in that, look, you're different racetrack, shorter distance. It's a much harder surface, Keeneland, than Saratoga. you're going a three-year-old filly against older horses. It's not, you know, that's not an easy task. And I'm not surprised. When we worked at Saratoga over the Oklahoma training track, she was really happy training over that track. It was a deeper surface. It's easier on her. We got to Keeneland, and we've had so much rain that it packed down the Keeneland track, and it seems to have stayed packed down a good portion of the fall. And, you know, I'm not sure she handled it well. I mean, it's just a different type of ground. And, you know, anyway, she seems to be fine otherwise. I mean, she jogged out last night. She looks okay. Ortiz seemed to think that when she was on the turns, that she was it was jamming her up a little bit on the turns. But, you know, look, we're still proud of her Alabama win. I can't take that away from her. And she's certainly a good filly. And we've got a tough decision, but we're going to have to decide whether we move forward into the Breeders' Cup Distaff or if we sit back and maybe look at making her, you know, good filly for next year. So we got some decisions to make, and she'll be fine, I think. And I think it just didn't play to her game.
Fair enough. So we'll wait and see whatever you decide. And you also probably have to think about Salvador Mundi going in to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Nice enough effort, boy, and was one of the ones that could have won it late.
He's a talented horse, but he ran like a complete knucklehead in Saratoga. You know, he tends to lose focus. So I put blinkers on him and it started Saratoga thinking that he would win. I mean, he really shows like he's got a bunch of turn of foot and big strong and plenty of stand-up, but he ran like a knucklehead. He just actually never engaged in the race and was kind of missed by that start because he had trained so well. So I wheeled him back to Kentucky Downs and he put it all together and took the blinkers off and it was a nice run. And then yesterday, we went into that race really confident. You know, his odds, I mean, 29-1, I thought was crazy. We bet a few dollars on him for those out there that every now and then. I bet 200 across on Signal Man, actually. but the run was good, except he lost focus when he made the lead. I mean, he did it again. He gets up there, and he made the lead, and then jumped off of his right lead. If he just stayed on his right lead and just kept moving forward, he's fine. But he jumped to his left and back to his right and then his left and back to the right. And so a little frustrating because I think I may have run the best horse, but he still lacks experience and maturity.
Will you think about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf?
Yeah, doing the math on it, I think it's $30,000 to enter. That's not too bad. We're going to run it past the partners and watch how he trains. I think we'd probably lean towards giving him a pull. You only get one chance at this stuff, and plus it's in our backyard. It's not like we have to go very far.
Exactly.
So I'd say we'd lean towards it.
Very nice. Well, just a tip of the iceberg with a bunch of good young horses. And before we go, Ken, I got to ask, I mentioned to everybody that you were sending Lights, Camera, Action as well as Princess Carolina out in the Jessamine on Wednesday. Look ahead. Tell us about the two fillies. Of course, we saw Princess Carolina win at the end of Saratoga, and Lights, Camera, Action has been pretty active and comes back to the turf after the nice try, actually, in the Pocahontas. Nobody was beating Amos's horse that day.
Lights, Camera, Action's an overachiever at this stage. I mean, she's got she wasn't an expensive horse either. She's, you know, $40,000 as a yearling, but she's already outrun her purchase price, and we just felt like to give her another shot there. She's pretty solid. I'm not sure, you know, how much her upside she has. The other filly, Princess Carolina, is, of course, a tappet, and I think, you know, there could be a whole lot of upside there. She's doing extremely well, and And I think she's set up this pretty well for this spot, too. You know, we're hoping to add black type to both of them, and, you know, we figured two shots is better than one.
Absolutely. Lights, camera, action, and Princess Carolina. And, of course, Rusty Arnold has got Concrete Rose for Ashbrook and partner BBN Racing that figures pretty good here. That filly has got a big, kind of a big rep coming in. So it should be good. The Jessamine wraps up the prep portion, and I can't leave without a Harvey Wallbanger update. I hope Wallbanger's not going to make a habit of these second place finishes.
Well, that was just a head bob, just up down, and his head went up when the other one went down. He ran a great race. Have another good one for Harold. I think this horse could very well kind of slip himself into, the top two-year-olds and into three-year-olds. So we'll kind of see if we can get his maiden broke next time. I'll probably run him back at Churchill and other maiden race. I think there's one opening weekend, and then there's a list of other ones a little bit later in the month. So we'll see how that ball bounces. But he's a nice horse, and that was a good run this.
Well, and absolutely, and of course you ran 2 weeks ago last week ago Sunday at Remington with True Dream and Stronger Than Ever and Rated Our Superstar, and you've got so many of the young horses that figure to run back between, I suppose, the rest of the Keeneland meet and then over at Churchill. Kenny, the one little negative that came up this week was that Cairo Cat is nicked up. Give everybody an update on Cairo Cat.
Yeah, unfortunately, he came out of his race with a small issue. He's going to need about 60 days. We've addressed it, and then he'll be back as a three-year-old, and I think is an even better three-year-old. I'm not sure that even if we had run in the futurity, if the pace of the race would have suited him anyway, because the horse ended up winning wire to wire, bends, of course. But these things all happen for a reason, and I think certainly he's got already shown some talent, and I think you'll see him somewhere in Florida or Louisiana this winter getting ready for some of the Derby preps, and he'll make his mark.
Well, I was disappointed because I was looking forward to looked like one of those horses that as long as
not any more
disappointed
than the owner was.
I can imagine.
Scott Leeds has had a pretty good run this summer, and actually that did throw a little water on our fire, and Scott and I talked about it, and he's not had a horse of that caliber yet. He had Wonderman. He owns Wonderman.
Oh, yeah.
Who's given him some thrills, but this colt really looked like a high-level type, and I think he still will be. So don't be too discouraged. And those out there that are following him, he'll be back, and he'll be back better than ever. So we'll just it's just going to take a little time till we get him there. And, everything happens for a reason. That's what we say, and that's what horse trainers have to say.
Well, exactly. And finally, I should mention also Daddy's Little Darling officially heading to the sale, right? She'll go as a racing broodmare prospect or just as a broodmare prospect?
I'm out of the loop on all that. After Miss Polk died, they have been, doing some estate moves, and I honestly don't have details. Love the filly and proud of everything we did with her. I think we've made her marketable to the world because we took her to travel and people know her, and Dad Daddy, and she was turf and she was dirt. There's going to be a lot of interest in her in the market from the work we did, and I hope she sells well, and I hope she goes to a great home.
Yeah, what a... I'm sorry that, Normandy and Mrs. Pope. Well, Kenny, overall, lots of good news, and we'll wait for some decisions, but congratulations on a fourth Alcibiades, right? Four?
Four, yeah, but who's counting, right?
Who's well, you know, when you line the trophies, that's a good question. When you get trophies like this, do you keep them all grouped together?
I never see them.
Well, you get a trainer's trophy.
I think you get a julep cup for the Alcibiades, but it's actually the New York trophies that are so valuable. It's the, you know, the Travers Trophy and the Alabama Trophy. Those are. And the Belmont Trophy, those are all under lock and key. So, but the Julep Cups are nice, and you know, I've got a few here or there. But we got to worry about tomorrow and not worry about yesterday. I do actually kid around with Wayne Lucas about the Alcibiades. I told him, I said, you know, I know you've got six of those, Wayne, and I said, I'm tracking you. So when I saw him yesterday, the day before, and I said, okay, I got another one. I'm trailing you now. And he and I always have a good, good-natured ribbing of each other. He's a really great man, and certainly him with six is a, you know, I still got some work to do.
Well, your first came in 2000. She's a Devil Do. Mark Guidry, Take Charge Lady, one of my favorites, with Tony D'Amico, and then you came back, of course, with who am I missing?
She's a Devil Do, Take Charge Lady, Dream Empress.
Dream Empress. There you go. Dream Empress. Who wrote Dream Empress?
Believe it or not, 7 seconds in the race.
7 seconds. My God. Well, this and the spinster. Seconds. We always. I said the other day. And when we did our stats race lens thing, I said, the McPeak in the spinster, McPeak in the Alcibiades, there's a target. The same way Woody Stevens targeted the Belmont, you target these two races.
Yeah, no, I'll take a shot at it next year too, guarantee it.
Absolutely. Kenny, and of course you follow Kenny on Twitter, and we haven't talked about horse races now in too long, everything. What give us everybody a quick update?
Well, it continues to grind along. You know, we're still getting 8,000 to 10,000 new users a month, and the only problem is we tried to do a betting version, and you know, the big entities, Churchill and Stronach and Naira, are unwilling to give us content, so we had to shutter that. And you know, we're still keeping our head above water, although barely, and we unfortunately are unable to, you know, we're no longer able to deliver video to everyone. Financially, the cost of the video and our financial situation is not going to allow us to show live or replay video currently. Maybe there's a solution in the long run, but, you know, we're working through that. And we've got some people out there that are talking to us about, you know, some other ways to help monetize it, and there's still possibly some big things, but you know, we still deliver really good, you know, entries and results and charts, and we have past performances, and for those that are using it, please continue to and continue to tell others, because we're still trying to do something positive for the sport, and I think in a matter of time that we get ourselves on a little firmer footing, we can do even more things.
Well, I'm glad I asked, because we really. How many years has it been now?
Well, we've been out of beta for 5 years, and we've got 500,000 active people.
And nice.
So it's really one of the largest in the sport. You know, kind of quietly, we just keep growing 8,000 to 10,000 users a month, and. We have a lot large advertising presence, and we need, you know, anybody out there that wants to advertise to support them. Our daily news goes up to 320,000 people. Actually, maybe more. 340,000.
I get it.
People. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, I get it. Every day. Absolutely.
And the Thoroughbred Daily News is helping us source that, and we're. That's touching a lot of folks, and if we can continue to grow that, and we can add data from other international and harness data, then we can even grow those eyeballs. And So it's got value in that realm right there. And anybody wants to advertise with us, we're all ears.
There you go. Contact Kenny, Kenny McPeak on Twitter, or McPeak Racing, or both. Thanks a lot, Kenny, and congratulations. We'll see. Looking forward to seeing the lineup for Cup.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Always great, Kenny McPeak. Everybody, let's take a break. And Johnny D standing by. Talk to Johnny for this next half hour. Then we got a little action with Gleishaw and Baltus. Mike Beer is going to sub today for Nick. Nick is coming back from a wedding, so he's tied up. So we'll go to Mike Beer instead. Garrett O'Rourke, too, today. Back after this with Johnny.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.